This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB.
Great things is what they drop, dog. Food chain says top dog. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. We don't listen to y'all, this the outlaws. Make them scream out loud like a sound dog. Cause a ruckus in the crowd like a foul ball. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws. Tune in, it's the charge for the outlaws.
Welcome to the Outlaws. This is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow alongside Dante Bry. Robin O'Malley is not in today. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TheOutlawsRadio. And make sure that you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. And if you listen to this show on Apple, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review. And a comment is very important for the algorithm, excuse me. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you oh so very much. We have a lot of things to discuss, but first, Dante, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Another week down, closer to the holidays, ready to spend some money.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the hot takes this week. I know you got something fire for us, right?
Yes. Hide the children for this. Hide the children for this one.
Uh-oh. All right. Stay tuned for that, y'all. But first, the first thing we have to discuss today to kick off this episode is Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett.
Oh, boy.
We've got to talk about Jussie. Now, I want to make something perfectly clear, because there's been a lot of reports going on or a lot of people in the news talking about those who fell for this, right? And two, we have a diverse audience, and some people may not know this, but I just want to tell our Caucasian listeners, other than the people who are like diehard left-wing activists, everybody Black knew this story was BS from the very beginning.
Facts.
We all knew it, right? Like, we were all joking about it and was like, wait a minute. MAGA, you got attacked by MAGA people in Chicago? At 2 a.m. going to a damn subway? The whole thing was completely illogical from the very beginning. And most Black people was like, it ain't a bunch of MAGA people in Chicago. Like, this is MAGA country in Chicago? Like, I knew immediately when I first heard the damn story, I said, that don't sound right. Like, I'm not. And you know, at the time, if you was questioning it, you know, they was calling you a homophobe and all these other things, but it never made sense. It never made sense. And everybody Black I know from the beginning knew that this story did not make a lick of damn sense at all. Dante.
Yeah. So it's funny because the day the story came out, and I frequently go back to like my old posts on Facebook and see what I wrote about certain stuff and like has my, you know, ideas changed or whatever. I will never forget it, man, because I go back frequently. My DMs blew up, the comment section blew up, but I posted. It's like 9 a.m. when I finally started taking in this story, the day it popped, I was like, oh, this didn't happen. And you have to be crazy. Or you have to be, like you said, super left wing, probably maybe a member of the LGBT community, or maybe somebody looking for a grift, right? Because the nonprofit donation thing kind of went up to believe this, right? You know, BLM starts looking for donations to support our LGBT brothers and sisters because this can happen to one of the fans, you know, all of that stuff. If you're not a part of that, and you have like a little bit of logic, you know, that didn't happen, man. None of it made sense. So you mean to tell me, Darvio, on like the coldest day in Chicago? Because remember, it was supposed to be like winter storm. Coldest day in Chicago. They expecting wind chills below 60 below. This man gets off of a plane. And if anybody's ever got off a red eye flight, I've done this before coming from Vegas, right? You get off a flight. It's, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. You get off a plane. You're not, and it's negative, you know, 20 degrees below zero. Wind chills, negative 60, 1 a.m. You're tired. You don't just decide like, I'm hungry. You've probably going to fix something in the house or you going to sleep. You're not just going to say, I'm going to go to Subway. And, you know, it's 20 degrees below zero. I'm going to walk. No, no. Here's the other thing. The other thing, and I was like, okay, so none of that makes sense. Your motive for going to, that's stupid. Subway ain't that good. But now it's just, okay, in negative 20 degrees, just randomly 2 a.m. in the morning, these two white guys just happen to be outside with bleach and a noose. Like, we just waiting for somebody so we can lynch. We just wait. Oh, there's that gay dude from Empire.
Now, hold on, pause. Yep. Stop one second. I just want to point out how many of the stereotypical MAGA people that he's talking about, how many of them watch Empire?
That was my next point. let me put it to you this way. Racist, middle-aged, white people who, again, are racist and homophobic, they don't watch Empire. Like, that's the nice way that we can put this. That's not their demographic.
Right.
Empire was not trying to reach them. So, yeah, they just happened. Oh, but the part that really got me, though, Darvio, was they put a noose and poured bleach around his neck, right? He still had the Subway sandwich after fighting them off. And he walked back to his apartment complex with the noose around his neck. Now, I'm going to tell you this. There is no self-respecting black man on the face of this planet that would get a noose put around their neck in a hate crime and walk back to their apartment with the noose on their neck.
With the rope, come on, rope still on your neck?
Nah, no self-respecting black man would do something like that.
No. So we know, because I know some folks be like, how could people ever believe this? I just want to be very clear. To put your mind at ease, white people, most rational, reasonable thinking black people saw that this thing was bovine excrement from the very beginning. Like, we knew this was complete and total garbage because nothing in this story made sense. They're like we said, middle-aged white person who's a Trump supporter and is a racist and a homophobe, because that's what the allegation was, that they did a racist, homophobic attack. A MAGA hat wearing, Trump supporting, middle-aged white racist wouldn't even know who Jussie Smollett is. They don't know who he is. They don't watch Empire. Hell, half of the black community didn't watch it.
Right.
So they don't know who he is. That there was just so many things that was completely illogical with this situation. And then you, that FN from Empire, they don't talk like that. No. That sounds like Dave Chappelle said, that sounds like something black people would say.
Oh yeah, like, so, and this was around that time when we was getting like those, you know, that kind of like that rat Trump made people crazy. So
right.
This was around the time where we always kind of got that, you know, look at this. This is a hate crime. I can't believe. And then it comes to find out that like, no, y'all actually did that yourself. Remember that one, it was a white guy who said, and this is Trump made people crazy on both sides. White guy said Black Lives Matter attacked his property and they wrote Blacks Rule on his sidewalk. Black people would never do something like that. We would never write Blacks Rule.
Like, we would never say that. Like, what is this? Like, even in 1991, when that phrase was popular, saying such and such rule, Black people never said that.
Like, blacks, blacks rule. Why? It's like, what are you doing? Or our former hero, as Dan Gilbert once called LeBron, making up stories about how somebody wrote the N-word on his property in Brentwood, but there's nobody has cameras of it. It was erased before anybody sees it. Like, come on, man. Why do people need to do this?
Well, and I think it gets to a larger point too. Like, what Jussie did was really diabolical. You know what I mean? Because he was exploiting real divisions with all of the tension. Like, people have to really think back. Like, we're divided now. But like you said, Dante, at that time, though, in 2019, like, the divisions and the tensions were really, really high. You know what I mean? And to use that as an opportunity to make yourself famous, to fake, let me just say this. Okay, I be talking about, Dante talk about these people. We talk about white progressives all the time, right? But one of the things that we talk about sometimes, we don't talk about as much, but it's about white progressives and their black enablers, right? So I want everybody listening to think about something like this. Here you have a guy like Jussie, who purposely played white liberal America and liberal America in general, because he knew he could get away with it. He knew people would buy it, and the elite did. The white elite, the black elite, they bought it hook, line, and sinker at the beginning until people started saying, wait a minute, this don't sound right, right? Now, here is someone who fakes a hate crime being attacked with a noose around his neck. I want to ask you a question, and I want to ask everybody else a question. Does that sound like someone who is really, truly connected to the black community? Does anybody think that someone who truly is connected for real, to the black community, who understands the experience, the struggles, the history, all of that, anyone who cares at all about black people, would they fake a hate crime? Like Dante said, he kept the noose around his neck.
Yeah.
That, go ahead, brother.
For starters here, Darvio says the white liberals, the elite, and their black enablers. I have a different word for them that we can't say on the show. Second, no, he sounds like somebody with a mental illness, right? Because what I would really want to know is, like, what's the end game here, right? Like, you would just, like, the police are going to, you have connections to a prosecutor in Chicago who was Kim Fox. You obviously have a lot of politicians and a lot of activists that want to champion this story. Like, bro, this isn't going to go away, right? So they're going to continue to look for white, middle-aged, racist, homophobes in MAGA hats that attack people until they find someone. So, like, what happens if they bring you down there and they put you in front of a lineup? Are you going to pick two people? Like, how far was he willing to go with this? Because to me, that's a mental illness. Like, that's no different than, you know, we talk about, you know, fake hate crimes, or, you know, a woman or a guy faking an attack, or say, you know, that, what's the difference between what he did and what, say, like, Tawana Brawley? Well, Tawana Brawley did it to herself, and so did Jussie. Like, that, or Duke LaCrosse, like, that's dangerous. You could potentially ruin life. What if the cops would have brought somebody in? That's very dangerous. And it also cheapens, it really, really cheapens the story of racism. Because if I am a white person, I would say, man, a lot of black people say racism exists, but why do you need to make it up? Mm-hmm. You are cheapening and damaging legitimate planes. There are really gay people who get attacked for being gay. Why would you cheapen that if you're supposed to be the gay Tupac?
Which is something he actually said too.
Why would you want to cheapen that? If you want to be a champion for, there are more than enough cases of Black people being discriminated against, Black people being lynched, attacked. We just saw it with the Ahmaud Arbery case. You don't need to fake that, man.
Yep.
That's dangerous. And like you said, it's diabolical. And quite frankly, I think he has some mental problems because he's still sticking with the story. I mean, he obviously doesn't have a good defense team. They put him on the stand. Sir, we have video evidence of these guys buying the stuff that you paid for, that you told them in text message that you paid for. And we have video evidence of you guys rehearsing this. And you are on the stand saying that it didn't happen that way.
And he almost got away with it. He almost got away with it. Remember, Kim Fox dropped it originally.
Yep.
The prosecutor out there. He almost got away with it. This is what he thought would happen. That he would be able to go on a tour, on a media tour, cry crocodile tears, be this big hero, and parlay that into bigger opportunities for himself.
Tragic.
That's what he thought would happen. He thought that people, because at first it was all going to plan, right? It was all going to plan. He got the Good Morning America treatment. The now president tweeted about it. The now vice president tweeted about it. There were so many people that were upset. I saw, I think it was Ellen Page, who was on the Late Show, talking about how it's outrageous that people are questioning his story. I saw people that were in tears. They were crying because this is what America is in 2019. And it was a crock of crap. It was a crock of crap from the very beginning. And everybody with a fully functioning brain, a brain that has not been rotted to the core from politics, everyone who had a fully functioning brain knew that this story made no damn sense whatsoever. So now he is convicted, because we kind of buried the lead there. We just kind of went into we just kind of went off. Right? So we buried the lead there. He's been convicted. The question is whether he's going to serve time. Typically, he wouldn't because he's a first-time offender, doesn't have anything on his record. But there's also a question now because he committed perjury. He lied on the stand in numerous occasions. So I will ask you, Dante, as we get ready to close this segment, should Juicy Smoothie serve any time?
Well, so I never want to... So I'm the type that's like, I wouldn't wish prison on anybody for the most part, right? He didn't kill anybody. He, you know, he needs to pay for what he did. And I honestly, man, I really think like the best punishment for him would be for him to fade into irrelevance and we never hear from him again because clearly he wants some sort of attention. But I don't know what the right punishment is for him to really be honest with you, man. Because I don't want to be like, yeah, lock him up and throw away the key. But I also don't want to be like, nah, he shouldn't, you know, because he got to pay for it.
Nobody believes he's going to get this. But the charges that he was convicted of, like, they have up to 15 years. Jeez. Like, so it wasn't really... No slapping the wrist stuff. And I'm like you, I'm kind of torn on this because on the one hand, it was I'm not going to say it was a victimless crime because you had police in Chicago wasting time on this case when there clearly was probably some more important things for them to be doing in Chicago, right? So he does have to pay. But on the other hand, like I'm with you. Like it wasn't a crime, like he didn't kill anybody. But then on the other hand, if you had did that, or if I had did that, we'd be going to jail.
Facts. Facts.
There will be no question. There will be no debate about it. So I say this. Lock him up in jail for 30 days and then give him a community service and repay all the money that the city of Chicago lost, the manpower hours, and chasing this foolishness. And then let him ride off into the sunset. Pause.
That's an insider, people. If you don't know why we're laughing, I'm sure there are some young men somewhere that probably know why we're laughing, but that's a good one. That was a great
one. Thank you, sir. Last thoughts.
So two quick thoughts. This is why we need Trump as the president, man. He, because beyond, you know, good or bad, Trump is the ultimate troll. Trump would have never let this die. Oh my goodness. Trump would have been all over Juicy. Pause. He would have crushed him, right? Second, could you imagine Darby being a police officer taking this young man's statement when he's giving it? It had to, bro, I'm telling you, because they were believing it for about a week. It had to be like a black supervisor or a black sergeant or a black officer that was taking a statement and was just like, nope, this is cool. This is nonsense. No. Oh, so they, okay. And they put the noose around your neck. Oh, and you walk back to the apartment with the noose. Oh.
Yeah. Because okay. The cops, because if you remember, the cops knew very early on that this was BS.
It had, I'm telling you, it probably wasn't a white cop because they would have been in an uncomfortable situation to be like, nah, this black guy lying. But I guarantee you, it's Chicago. It's a diverse police force. There was a black cop, a black sergeant, superintendent, who was just like, I don't think so. Nope. Within 5 minutes, any normal black man or black woman without an agenda and a fully functioning brain would have told you, nope, absolutely not. As you say, that didn't happen. Something happened to you. And you did it to yourself. But no, this, as you claim, this didn't happen.
All right, stay tuned. We have more to come here in the Outlaws. We'll be right back.
Real talk, real conversations. We got the heat.
Give me the real.
Hell yeah.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws. Don't forget, as always, to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a comment on Apple, please. We appreciate it. Now we have a story that was sent to us by our co-host, our illustrious co-host, Robin, who is under the weather today. And the story is kind of disturbing to me. It was posted in the Shade Room. For those of you who don't know what that is, make sure you check it out on Instagram, The Shade Room. And it says, Elon Musk says that his company Neuralink expects to start implanting brain chips in humans in 2022. Says Elon Musk, during a recent interview, he announced that by next year, he hopes that his company Neuralink will finally be able to implant brain chips in humans. Business Insider reports Elon Musk has major plans for his brain interface technology company Neuralink. And if he actually achieves this goal, it will be a total game changer. Musk officially recently revealed he is quite hopeful that Neuralink will officially begin implanting brain chips into humans in 2022. Neuralink is currently developing a microchip that will be implanted into the human brain to record and stimulate brain activity. It's also intended to treat severe spinal cord injuries and various neurological disorders. Speaking about his intentions to successfully move forward with a brain chip implantation, Elon Musk stated Neuralink's working well in monkeys, and we're actually doing just a lot of testing and just confirming that it's very safe and reliable. and the Neuralink device can be removed safely. We hope to have this in our first humans, which will be people that have severe spinal cord injuries next year, pending FDA approval. Okay. I'm not going to say that there's no value to this. Obviously, it could potentially, it's still early. They haven't, even tested this thing on humans yet. But it could potentially help people who are paraplegic, be able to stand and walk again, and that's a beautiful thing. However, I'm a Christian, and I've been a Christian my whole life, and that sounds a little bit too much like the mark of the beast to me. So I'm very, 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 very uncomfortable with the idea of putting a computer chip, a brain chip, into someone's body for a couple of reasons. Number one, like I just said, sounds like Mark of the Beast. Sounds a little bit too much like Mark of the Beast to me, which makes me very uncomfortable. But also, anytime you have something that is computer generated or computer powered, it can malfunction and or it could be hacked. So I think you're opening a Pandora's box of dangerous situations. If you have something that could, because everything, I don't give a damn what they say. They will say, oh no, we have the best security, this, that, and the third. Everything that is technologically inclined can and or will be at some point capable to be hacked. So what happens if you have that situation? What happens if you have somebody that has this brain chip implanted and it gets hacked and somebody uses the chip in their brain to make them go kill somebody? Does that person go to prison? Is that person innocent? Or what if you have someone who can get hacked that computer chip in your brain and make you commit suicide? What happens there? And how do you catch the person if they did that? Because you have a computer chip in somebody's brain and it'll look like it was something that they did themselves. How does that work? Right? So I don't know, dog. I don't know. This is this makes me very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm a pass on that one now and forever into the future. It's one of those things where, like you said, one, most Black people I know, we a little too Christian for that one. That sounds like a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, like, what kind of Manchurian candidate stuff is this? You know what I mean? Like, I'll pass on. I'm cool actually on any sort of microchipping, any sort of, hey, let me implant this into you. I'm just gonna pass on all of that. That stuff is, again, maybe the science checks out, maybe it doesn't, who knows, but it's over my head. And I've been on this earth now 27 years. I function just fine without it. That's how I feel. Like, you know what? I'm not going to condemn it because maybe it works for somebody. Maybe it's not nefarious. Maybe it's, not a path to, what some people will call a conspiracy, what Christians will call a book of revelations. Maybe it's none of that, right? Maybe it's all on the up and up. I've survived long enough without it. I'm okay. I would rather not even entertain that. I don't need it.
Yeah, and then you have to think too, I'm not saying that Elon Musk is up to anything nefarious, right? Like, I'm not saying that.
Yep.
But it's not about Elon Musk. It's about the person who gets their hands on the technology after Elon Musk.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Technology is only as nefarious as the person whose hands it's in.
And it can definitely be hacked. I mean, our government gets hacked regularly, despite what they want you to know. State governments get hacked all the time. Governments get hacked. Large corporations get hacked. And stolen from data stolen from me. We just had a huge data breach with the credit bureaus, right? Like everybody is susceptible to being hacked. Why wouldn't this? Which in that case means like, do they have all the information to, I personally like these, this sounds like a sci-fi movie. And the problem with sci-fi movies is that they always go bad. There's always a problem. So I would be concerned, like, okay, we're living in a sci-fi movie and they've hacked all of our memory chips or brain chips, whatever. Now everybody's just free game. Like, I would be perfectly fine being the one person out of, say, 7 billion people on Earth that didn't get this one if all of the rest of you did.
Agreed. All right, stay tuned. We have Dante's Hot Takes when we come back here on The Outlaws.
Yo, what's up? Bring the noise right here. Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. You are tuned in the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yeah, this is Chris Gotti, and you're listening to the number one radio show, The Outlaws. You heard me? Adventure Music supports Chris Gotti. Go check him out.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, comedian, actress Coco Brown, and you're listening to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, SNMJT, and I'm with Outlaws.
Welcome back to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back, welcome back. You're listening to The Outlaws. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/The Outlaws Radio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Outlaws Radio. And before we leave you today, it is time for Dante's Hot Takes.
Telling the truth, whether you like it or not. Yes. It's Dante's Hot Takes on the Outlaws Radio Show.
So, we have a story out of New York City. And the only way that you would keep from being super angry or crying about something like this is to laugh. So I will try to keep this light. But this is really a heavy situation. Officials in New York City have approved the first of its kind supervised drug injection sites in the nation. And they have begun offering services to people. This program was backed and promoted by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And extensively, what they're trying to accomplish is to provide a safe haven for drug addicts while also giving them the alternative to quit. I don't fully understand it. I partially understand the logic, right? You would prefer them to be using clean needles, which this site provides, drug screening. It would, you know, hopefully prevent overdoses. But then there's the other question of, why are you encouraging drug use? You should under no circumstances. Now, yes, and this has become the argument, and this is why I think both sides are bad, right? Because this has become the argument to the war on drugs. But you can't, the alternative to the war on drugs cannot just be, yeah, let's just provide people with a way to do them, right? The war on drugs, if we are all in agreement, is bad and not helpful, then you have to critically think about an alternative to oppose drug use and to fix that problem without encouraging drug use. You can't sway from polar opposite to polar opposite. Do we really think that people will stop using drugs if you provide them a safe haven to use them? No. The incentive here is, well, now you never have to worry about getting a bad needle. You never have to worry about an overdose. You essentially can just do drugs in peace without having to worry about being arrested or worrying about dying. I mean, you're just good. Like, this is a perfectly legal trap house and you can be comfortable here. That is not how you prevent. That is not how you help cure people who have that illness. And I hate to make this like a conservative, Democrat, liberal, Republican thing, but this is the stupidity of the left. They looked at the war on drugs and said, wow, that's awful. And in their stupidity said, how can we help drug addicts? We can make it safe and legal for them to do it. So instead of locking them up and throwing away the key, your idea is let's just help them kill themselves cleanly, right? It's the old, like the meme where you have, you know, the pilot where it says Republicans love war, and they have the Republican war plan. It's got like Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump's face, and it's dropping bombs. And then you have the Democratic plan that says Democrats love war, but it has a Black Lives Matter sticker and an LGBT flag on it. But they're still dropping the same bombs. So one, the war on drugs will kill people. This is killing people. You're just doing it with a smile and giving them a clean needle. And then the last part is, where do you plan to put some of these quote rehabilitation centers? You're putting them in neighborhoods. So we have children and families, and I guess the alternative is, well, they would be on the streets, but I'm sorry, I don't want to drop my second grade daughter off at school and there's a line across the street around the corner full of junkies going to get heroin, totally unabated and encouraged. That's not how you build a healthy community.
So I completely agree with everything you just said. This is one of the dumbest things. And this is a problem that I have not only with progressives, but also hardcore libertarians, because hardcore libertarians are in favor of this crap too. And one of my common complaints of the progressive left and of hardcore libertarians is that they are both extremely naive about reality, about human nature. And perfect example of that is this stupid, stupid idea. I saw a news report from New York, from a local station in New York, about it today. And they had a fiend on there saying, hey, I can come here and I can get my needles, I can get my pipe, I can get, like, does this guy sound like someone who's trying to quit? No, you just made it convenient. You McDonald's eyes drug user. This is the dumbest bleep I have ever heard. And once again, anyone with a fully functioning brain knows that this is not going to work. But once again, it's always from zero to 100. It goes from, hey, you know what? Maybe we should give nonviolent drug users, we should give them rehab instead of jail. It goes from that to, let's give them free needles and crack pipes. It's always from zero to 100. Even when the motivation is good, the execution is always bad, because people who think of stupid stuff like this don't live in reality. Okay? I am from the hood. I am old enough to remember the tail end of the crack epidemic. This is a really bad idea. This is a really bad idea. But what happens is academics, who are some of the dumbest people in the world when it comes to reality and how things function in real life, they sit amongst each other and they come up with these stupid ideas. And then we become the people that they socially experiment on. Because this rehabilitation center, this legalized trap house that they have in New York, is in a Black neighborhood. Of course it is. instead of, because it's so much easier. It's too much work to say, let's address the conditions that create the environment for rampant drug use. What are some of those conditions? Poverty, crime, homelessness, feeling of helplessness, all of those sorts of things. We can't do anything about that, because if we actually address those, we would have to do things that go against our ideology. So we can't do anything about that. But hey, I got an idea. Let's give them needles and crack pipes. That'll make it better. And then when they come in, we can just give them a smiley face and talk about how we can give you treatment. And they say, okay, yeah, yeah, that's all good. Where's my crack pipe? This is stupid. But this is what happens when you have socially isolated eggheads running the world. Because these people have never been in an environment where they had to live under the results of their cockamamie ideas. Ever. They stay at their cocktail parties amongst their elite circles in their gated communities and come up with these ignorant ideas to see what they can do to socially experiment on the poor little darkies. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why those type of people irk my soul. Dante, last word.
Yeah, this is part of the, excuse me. This is part of the reason why I absolutely despise academics and I would say probably like 80% of politicians, right? They, for the most part, academics, and let's just be real about this. Academics and like 80% of politicians are really just losers who never did anything outside of school. Academics never left school. And their achievements are all tied to some sort of classroom and nothing tied to like real world efficiency, a real job where the objective was to make money. It's all, hey, you know, let's write papers about theory and I got a 4.1 in this class and you're a great student. Now you became a great teacher. Zero accomplishments, nothing useful, just all theory. And like you said, we'll just test it out on people and get grant money paid for by the people that we're testing it out on, the taxpayer. Really, most of them, good for nothing. Good for absolutely nothing. This is another case in point, in my opinion.
Lord have mercy. Let them know how to follow you, sir.
Follow me at Taebry, T-A-E-B-R-Y-E, on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at D the Kingpin everywhere. That's D-T-H-E-K-I-N-G-P-I-N. All right. Thank you also very much for spending some time with us. We absolutely appreciate it. As always, we appreciate all the love and support that you all show us. It matters to us deeply, so we definitely appreciate it. But I also want to send a special shout out to Mr. Robert Terry, who is a fan of the show and is currently listening to our entire archives from episode one all the way to where we're at today. So I want to send a special shout out to him. Thank you so much for being a listener and a supporter of the show. We absolutely appreciate it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.